Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Henry.
Hi. Hi.
You are really keeping the rage inside, but it's so scary.
Look at my smile.
I know, but it's so forced, and your hello was forced.
Hi.
I am scared.
I am well.
You look...
I am well.
You actually do look well. Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. We really appreciate you. And also, don't forget, you can watch our stream every Tuesday on Patreon because they've kicked us off of every other platform. Yeah. Anyway, today we are honored to have with us, he is a megastar. You've seen him on the Travel Channel, Paranormal Caught on Camera. You can see my big face on there being like, was it, kids?
It's Who called knows? Paranormal Caught on Tape. It's your own show, Kissel.
It's called On Camera. On Camera, not on
tape. Is that true, Aaron?
No, he's accurate. It is on camera.
I know the show that I got paid $250 an episode to do before I was too stupid to film myself and hence was kicked off. I know the show. We are on with Aaron Sager. Thank you so much for being on the show, Aaron.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad to step into this arena of barely repressed rage.
Yeah, man. Welcome. Welcome to it. I want to ask you a question first up. I know that you're an expert in the paranormal occult and a lot of things deep in geek culture as well. We just had a fan say that I saw this and I'm so incensed. They said that they think that Lindsay Buckingham is more attractive than... Mick Fleetwood.
This is an absurd
from
assertion.
Fleetwood Mac. And yeah. I understand, ostensibly, sure.
Sure.
But Lindsay Buckingham's character, mm-hmm. does that not keep him from being the most attractive male of Fleetwood Mac?
This is the first question you want to ask Aaron, the paranormal expert. You want to ask him about the attractiveness of Lindsay.
No.
Okay, great.
No, I can handle this because I think that... Yeah, I think the character goes a long way. I mean, right? It's like Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction, you know, personality goes a long way, you know.
I'm a fucking garden gnome who came to life. My wife is almost 6 foot tall model. It's about being funny.
It is about being funny. So, yes.
Well, not if you're in Fleetwood Mac. I don't think they laugh too much. They were doing a lot of
sex.
There was
fighting. A lot of fighting. Yeah.
A lot of sex, a lot of breaking up, a lot of getting back together and then writing about it. But, I mean, yeah, but where were the laughs? That's the question. Where were the laughs in Fleetwood
Aaron
Mac?
Aaron Sager is coming in with where are the laughs? Where are the laughs? Well, this conversation could not be going better. Aaron, let's talk about everything going on in the paranormal world right now. We talk about this, Henry and I, because Henry is a MUFON expert, although he is self-excommunicated from MUFON because of a small controversy within the movement.
You're saying a small controversy is that Jan Harzan, the head of MUFON's, tried to purchase a 12-year-old to have sex with? Then
controversy.
Yeah. Well, it is controversial, yes.
It quite is. But what do you think, Aaron Sagers, as far as the paranormal world right now? We're seeing UFOs, more evidence than ever. Ooh, mow, mow, mow. They are saying that's some kind of creature from heaven.
You don't do this. Don't belittle us.
I think that, I mean, first off, let me just start by saying, and this is going to just maybe wreck the entire show. I don't think anyone's an expert in the paranormal because it's not based on any, you could be expert on theories. You could be really well read, but when it comes to actually what's going on, no one knows what the hell's going on. There's theories, but there's no expertise.
Yeah. Lie to us, Aaron.
Wow.
Lie to us.
This is how you shoot yourself in the foot in the pitch, because when you go into pitch in the television show, you're supposed to be like, I am the expert. I know what's a ghost and what's a fart on a fucking UV machine. I know the difference.
He's on all the shows. He can self-record himself.
Yeah, and I feel like I've been tainted by Ben Kissel's approach to Paranormal Caught on Camera, which is like to watch the video 30 seconds before you react to it.
I usually watch it in real time. Because the funny thing is they send you all the videos before, and you're supposed to look at them. But then when you watch it in real time, you're like, oh, I have the same opinion as I would have had.
Kissel, wow, you take the same work approach to your other show that you do to Last Podcast Love. It's so amazing to see the consistency.
Consistency is one thing. That's correct, Henry. Even liquid shit is consistent, isn't it?
It's a consistency.
It is a consistency of some
Aaron,
sort.
But Aaron, isn't that upsetting to you, though, that I'm on the same show?
No, not at all, because your opinion is just as valid as anyone that's spent a lot of time. I should not even be encouraging this, but it's accurate.
Show up and get it done.
Because you show, you're going to luck on to some sort of theory that's going to be maybe in the ballpark of something that's actually going on.
Classic
as opposed
Kissel.
To people that have spent years researching and establishing theories and credentials and everything. No, it's totally okay that you come along and, wing it.
Yeah, buddy. Farts ghosts. We don't.
You have. There's also two other people who've been in a decade long relationship with them that have been screaming information about this shit for a long time, and he just somehow. But honestly, I want to credit us, Marcus and I, with helping him learn that he actually has some of. He has some of it now. It's like buried in his cells.
All right. Well, this has been a fine moment in Ben Kissel history. Thank you all so much for your support.
Can we ask a real question?
Something, please.
Yes, let me ask a real question. We had another quote unquote paranormal expert, John Tinney, that was on our network. He's a good friend of mine. I love having him, and he's been talking about the spike in people talking about and registering and saying that they've seen anomalous phenomenon, things going on in the world that it seems to have taken there's a massive leap in quarantine, like during the pandemic.
Yeah. I love Tenny, and I think he's spot on, because there's a lot of crazy shit going on out there, and people are locked at home. And I think there's a couple things happening at once. On one hand, we're already in a time of high stress, but also we're at home in the middle of the day when normally if you live in a haunted house, your ghost gets to like chill, hang out, do whatever while you're away. Suddenly you're there stuck at home with it. Or maybe you're just noticing the bad wiring and leaky plumbing a little bit more when you're at home in the middle of the day. But
so the paranormal is suffering from the same horrible blend of work / home life that we are all suffering from.
I think they want us out of the house.
I
think
agree.
They're like, Jesus, this guy is still here another day. Then the emotional and the stress and everything plays into it. But just being stuck at home, I am way more stressed out being at home and knowing that every day I'm going to be at home.
We're talking with Aaron Sagers, extremely intelligent when it comes to the paranormal. I agree. I think the ghosts are suffering from COVID. I think they're exhausted. They don't want to see us there whatsoever.
They're sick of all these new people in the pool.
Oh, my good. All the dogs in the tub. It's absolutely disturbing what's happening with balls and going into the butts and stuff. But when it comes to ghosts, is it possible that they are the ones messing with the plumbing?
It is. It is actually quite possible, because why could they not? They have the ability to move things around in the plumbing, and
I guess this is now we're getting to this point, because we know that ghosts don't help with shit.
They don't?
Well, who are you to say? I mean, there's spectrophilia, there's coprophilia. What about spectrocoprophilia? I mean, because there's got to be
so ghost and shit sex. You're having sex with a ghost that is also deeply eroticized by shit.
What? How did we get there?
I love this.
Think about it this way. Okay. Let's say you've got some particular interests and fetishes, and then you go, you're dead. And then your spirit is still sticking around, and you're like, oh, wow. Okay. So I guess the afterlife was legit. There is somewhere else to go after this. I don't know if I want to move on with whatever higher power, knowing the stuff that I am into. So I might as well just be into it here on the spectral plane or haunting places. And look, then you have an unfettered access to observing people, using the bathroom. No one knows that you're there. And then, maybe when they're at work most days, you get to have your own spectral moment with with the plumbing.
Well, you definitely don't have to hide the hidden camera in the bathroom anymore, which is very nice and less felonious.
Yes, because a ghost, their memories are like little pictures. Also, your landlord, because sometimes if he's just watching you while you sleep or watching you while you shit, he sometimes will watch you go to the bathroom click, ksh, like make a flash noise with his face, and he's memorized that forever. He doesn't need video.
Wow. So imagine doing that for eternity as a ghost.
Aaron, so you're saying in heaven there's no fecal matter. Is that what you're saying? Or in the in the whatever the world is, there's no pooping. I would assume that in heaven it would be nothing but the thrill of having to poop, and then that feeling of excavating the waste. There's nothing more harmonious than that.
I mean, I guess it depends on how pleasant your pooping is. I mean, if it is a good digestive system,
in Kissel's case, it is not.
Yeah.
Well, it's been better because of dry January. It's been more strong.
I would be okay if in the afterlife I never pooped. Okay. I'm going to just say that.
Wow,
I'd be okay
you're
with
one
that.
Of those.
One of those.
It's like Marcus Parks from last podcast in life that hates eating. Like he doesn't like to eat. Where it's like me, I like the physical sensation of eating and shitting.
Well, I guess in heaven or wherever, whatever afterlife, if you've been good, because we're talking about the positive side of this, you would in theory always have access to a really good toilet if you have to go.
Toto.
Well, Aaron, you bring up an interesting, we've actually stumbled upon an interesting conversation point when it comes to theologians and aliens and paranormal activity. I think for a long time, focus has not been on aliens because a lot of people who are very religious think it's going to crumble their entire paradigm. Their entire ideology is going to be done away with. Can these things coexist? Because it seems more and more that you'll have someone who is extremely religious who also believes in aliens or believes in ghosts or specters. I guess Christianity and ghosts go hand in hand.
Yes.
But what do you think about aliens coinciding with religion? I feel like people are more open to that idea now.
And well, first off, let me say, well done. Very good segue, Kissel, into getting back into a real conversation.
No problem, buddy. That's what I'm here for.
You are a pro, clearly. No, I think it is fascinating.
We could talk about shit more.
These are what people pay for.
Paranormal and shit is the topic of my new book. So I'll just have to come back. I have to come back once, you know, we're ready to plug that.
Honestly,
or
that's
unplug that.
That's a great bathroom reader because poop does kind of look like that alien.
More bathroom readers talk right now because Kissel is constantly pitching us doing bathroom readers.
Okay. Well, Marcus wrote an entire book and I was like, it'll go in the bathroom. And then Marcus was like, no one reads
it. It makes
like everyone reads in the bathroom. What's wrong with that? Anyway,
I will say, I think that is actually a solid point. About the paranormal theories and phenomena coexisting. And I think we've kind of reached the point where sort of the westernized American focus on the paranormal, especially since like 2005, 2006 is when it entered into this new phase. And it was all about ghosts. And then there was some alien people and Sasquatch people. And then it was like ghosts, but also demons. And everybody was all about those things.
Right.
But as we've kind of evolved, I think and hope that we've reached sort of this adolescence within American culture and their thoughts on the paranormal that we're kind of like, okay, maybe a little bit more. Maybe it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Personally, I'm a everybody into the freaking pool kind of guy. I love the idea of ghosts, but I also think ghosts and aliens and cryptids and hell, even like getting into elementals or freaking Mothman. I think interdimensional, interplanetary, like I think it's all possible. And because once you start applying rules to like, well, a ghost can exist, but not this. It's like, who are you to say? And how do you know that they're not playing off of the same set of energy or rules
more and more
or whatever?
Of us, more and more of us who've spent years getting into paranormal, I think, start to find this. Because Tenny's one of those kind of persons. I have become one of those type of people that straight up that I believe ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot are the same thing. And that we are all, it's all interpretation, obviously different gradients of it, because when it comes to ghosts, I don't know if an intelligence lives further on, but I think the idea that there are elementals or energies that literally adapt the characteristics of a personality and sort of slot into place as a ghost for you, depending on the activity. Do you think that is us refining theory or and understanding more, or is it just getting to a point where you're like, I don't know, it's got to be something?
Well, I think that's where everybody ends up, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe both. I think that we're evolving with our awareness of things, but it's also so much weirdness happening out there that people are seeking a multitude of explanations about it. And I don't know, maybe we're just opening up a little bit more, but it's cool to me that when you have a place that is known for some sort of haunting, a lot of times you can lay over that some sort of cryptid sighting or some sort of UFO sighting. It's I am as far as the realm of high weirdness, high strangeness, I'm a big fan of John Keel. And
yes,
I like the way he went about it. Not always, but he kind of was like, okay, it's all connected. It is all equally weird. And maybe there's some different stuff going on with it, but it's all sort of happening at once.
Well, despite the fact that you guys have both caused me immense amount of trauma with the defamation that you guys have slung my way, I will have a question for both of you. Is this possibly undiscovered science? Is there something, because you can imagine what Wi-Fi is. If you got someone from the 1920s, they would be like, that's magic. Is this just another like sort of scientific phenomenon that we haven't yet
let me
figured
consult
out? Will we solve
my beakers?
Ghosts?
Let me consult my beakers.
Get your beakers.
Let me go.
Oh,
and
now,
look
Mr.
At
oh,
my
now who's the goof now, Mr. Zabrowski?
No, but it's true. I mean, I've always said that it's undiscovered science, but who
so
fucking knows what that means? And there's so much that's undiscovered. I don't even know. We don't know.
Yeah. I think like even when we talk about sometimes with ghosts, like it's more science fiction than paranormal. It's that maybe it's not so much a ghost as someone going about their day in whatever timeline, whatever realm, and then they cross over with us, or maybe it's some sort of time slip or whatever. Like, I don't think it's always strictly paranormal, but is today's paranormal tomorrow's science?
Right.
Yeah, for some stuff, I think to some degree, yeah, if I were to say they're microorganisms or little tiny things living in nature or in your body or whatever, 100 years ago, you would probably not, 150 years ago, you would not believe that. You would say that's insane.
Oh, I thought you
that's
were supposed to start talking about fucking midichlorians from Star Wars. I thought we were about to head into this world, which I never understood, the magic cells inside of the Jedi. So I don't know.
I didn't even know that. That's what fuels the Jedi?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they've done a better. So, yeah, they introduced the midichlorians, but now Mandalorian
like,
and some other stuff
not,
are sort of
let's
like.
Let's not all get in the weeds, all the cells,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But that idea is around, right? Even in like Scientology, the idea that you have something internal that is guiding your path. Donnie Darko did a good job of explaining fate.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of one of the most fascinating things is like solving what ghosts are. I wonder if it'll ever happen.
Do you want it to happen?
I kind of want to know what they are. I would be like, then you can know what to feed them and stuff.
I like amorphous dead ends. I like the idea that it is a constant question that you ask because it fuels getting up every day and looking for the answer.
But
it is the ultimate question about what happens to us. We all gonna die.
Right.
So what happens after that? I kind of want that mystery to remain. The one thing I would love, and even with like, let's say Sasquatch, I'm a little bit afraid of that mystery being solved because it's going to get solved by a dead Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. And that just makes me a little sad.
That would be sad.
Well, now they have Oklahoma just started. They had actual legislature put in place. Have you seen that? Where they're going to have the Bigfoot hunting season, but it's supposed to be catch and release.
Yeah, my people are on the line. I'm going to get killed. I'm not going to Oklahoma. We've canceled any trip possible to Oklahoma. I'll be hung up in the town square.
If that happens, if they encounter a Sasquatch, I hope he's just the meanest Sasquatch out there that really just rips someone limb from limb.
You can't spell Sasquatch without a little sass.
It's two S's in sass.
Oh, well, that actually is a great point, Henry, that you have brought up. What do you think about this cryptids being brought into real world? There's nothing more real than legislation in both horrible and non-horrible
ways. Is it a waste of taxpayers' money or is it real? Because in my mind,
it's weird though that we're doing
it's
that.
Hard.
Like, as a society, we just talked about it on Side Stories. It's like kind of a lark. It's kind of funny. But isn't that extremely strange that we have cryptid legislation?
But it's not the first time. I mean, well, or not the first time that it's entered the realm of politics. I forget which president it was, but during the Jersey Devil scare, the president commented about Jersey Devil, and there
Thomas
was also
Jefferson. Yeah, I don't think he was praying. No, but I remember that they had when we covered the Jersey Devil, I forgot, because the president, it went all the way to the top.
What did you say about it?
It's like, oh, I got to see this devil. Like, where is this devil?
There was a week of terror where around Philadelphia and Jersey, where the Philadelphia Zoo offered up a reward, bring in the Jersey Devil. And maybe some of it was tongue in cheek, but I think some of it was actually serious, because and this is more on the ghost side, but you know, when Harry Houdini was pursuing spiritualists, he testified in front of Congress about a congressional panel about mediums, and it forced Grover Cleveland, I believe, to even say, oh, we haven't had a seance in the White House, so we're not dabbling in that. I mean, so it has this notion of the paranormal has popped up in politics before.
Well, and of course, Grover Cleveland, nothing medium about that guy. He was indeed a large.
Large. He was of a large. You got him, Kissel. Yes. Now, I actually ask you, Aaron, what is your response and what's your takeaway from the rash of flying humanoids that have been going that this year?
Yeah.
I have never seen so many reports.
Rather,
yes. Yeah. There's so many reports of a Mothman. Now we have do you remember the mystery drones? Also last year, that also have not been explained in any way, shape, or form. Now we have the jetpack guy.
Right,
that
right.
is flying a jetpack who's buzzing LAX, where they have no fucking clue what that is. They've tried to say it's a hoax like three times, but then we have not seen the evidence yet. We have not. And then there's also an idea that it might be some weird other shaped drone that they don't know what it like. Is it just because, again, like, oh, we're just looking to the skies, or like it feels like something's in the air with like disclosure slowly leaking out like an enlarged prostate. Like, there's so much shit that's happening right now that it feels like it's just more logs on the fire.
Well, I don't think disclosure is going to happen via government or military or anything.
It ruins it.
Yeah. I mean,
well, what do you think? What does disclosure look like to you then, Aaron?
I think it's probably going to be you don't even want to say really compelling footage. I think that'll be interesting. But
this triangle picture that they're still fucking talking about.
If there's going to be anything, I think it would have to be some sort of extraterrestrial hovering over a major city for a long period of time and coming out and saying hello or something along those lines. It's not going to come from the government, because I think at most, if they probably would want to creak the door open and say, here you go, here's like a little bit of UFO stuff just to keep you guys a little bit happy, and then close the door again and be like, oh, that's it, that's all we got. Yeah. And then we are led to believe, okay, that was strange, that was odd, maybe there's something out there, but there's nothing more significant.
How long
to really
do you think it would
about.
Take before people just moved on? If there was something hovering over a city, how many days is it before people just go back to their frickin' jobs?
I don't know. Is Bridgerton coming back for a fucking second season, whatever the show is?
Because that's my only... I feel like people are very, very malleable. And as soon as we see an alien spacecraft, we'll be like, oh, yep, that's real. And then 48 hours later, everyone's just going to be like back
to... Yeah, well, let's see how they're handling COVID. You know what I mean? Like, immediately.
I think it's... I definitely don't think it's going to be a grand unifying moment for the human race. I don't think we're going to come together and be like, okay, well, there's aliens, so let's all love one another and figure this out.
Well, of course, the irony is we would come together in total spite and hatred towards the alien. I mean, hatred can be quite a bonding.
That's what works.
Yeah, it's unifying. Someone new to just hate altogether.
I believe if we see something like a UFO hovering above the White House, or like this quote-unquote big old big disclosure, hard disclosure, we've been saying, is that I think that's going to be an op. I think that if you see it's something like that is legitimately the government is trying to do something, like what they've been saying for years, which like what conspiracy theorists have been harping on this for fucking ever, is that since Reagan said like all wars will end when aliens come, that they will stage an alien quote unquote invasion or visitation in order to start the slow rollout of the one world government.
We're going to let that sit for a while. Very good. Very nice. Thank you, Henry. We'll isolate that footage.
Do you get into conspiracy theories? Does it get to that point? Or are you going to start?
Absolutely.
I love conspiracy theories. I used to love them a lot more before before these days.
Serious.
I started in newspapers as a journalist and was into the paranormal, into conspiracy theories and everything, and then came along in this industry and managed to make a job out of it. And I love conspiracy theories, but you know it's crazy. We've reached this tipping point of crazy town banana pants when I see conspiracy theories and I'm like, you guys are just, you're nuts. Like, y'all, this is crazy. The nutty part of it.
Yeah, y'all though, waiting for fucking JFK Jr. to come back. He is a barnacle.
And I won't say that it's not imaginative, but it's crazy and sad. It's not crazy and interesting and crazy and like, you know, tell me more.
The whole JFK stuff, it's not imaginative. If you're going to make things up, just have fun with it. The fact that, the former president's grandson is still alive. Thank you. What a surprise. When it comes to the military, though, I have two questions. Number one, I guess, this will be the second question, but do they come in peace? I want to know what your thoughts are on aliens, because Henry and I disagree on this because I'm more hopeful than Henry says they're just going to kill us.
Biological, they're going to eat us. They're going to kill us.
But before that, when it comes to the military, how much of the spacecraft that we don't identify up there in the sky, how much of that do you think is military new products, I guess, or new developments? And then how much can you actually say, no, this is paranormal, we have no freaking idea what this is? Because to me, the former is almost more scary, because we're watching that the spy craft show on Netflix. The tech they had was amazing.
It is
you
wild.
Can imagine what they have now. Like, to me, it's almost scarier, the military technology that they have.
If we have some sort of ship or craft or whatever in the bunkers under a mountain, we are definitely reverse engineering it. And that would explain a lot of technology that maybe we don't even know anything about. I think that we would most certainly do that. And maybe we have. As far as, I think there's the Twilight Zone episode, I think it's like People Are Alike All Over, and it's these two astronauts wondering what life out there is going to be like. Is it going to be like us, or, you know, kind and giving, and or is it going to be warlike? And it turns out that, well, they are like us, which is to say they'll put you in a zoo. So right. I think if there's a higher intelligence and it comes here, why should it care what we think? If we don't care about the ants that we step on the ground, or when we want to put up a parking garage, we're not thinking about the wildlife that we're displacing for the most part. So if something were of a higher intelligence and came here, I don't know that they would necessarily have to care about us.
See, I think that a higher intelligence would innately lead to more peace. But I don't know if that's necessarily true.
It's weird, because I think that's a very philosophical question, is whether or not intelligence comes with empathy. Because I don't know if it necessarily does. I don't know if it necessarily, like.
But don't you think you get more out of being kind than you do being mean at the end of the day? Because
you do, because you're a big goon.
You're so lucky you're on Skype right now, because that would get you a bonk on the head.
See how scared I have to live in? See the kind of fear I have to live in?
Oh, my God.
How quickly just civilization starts to crumble. Just like this, no more civility.
You see?
Faults. This is what happens when you get one true-blooded Johnny Cash-loving American with two freaking nerds.
What the fuck? But I have to get more with aggression. I get more with aggression. I have to.
Aaron, what do you think? His intelligence, is it smarter to be mean or nice?
I don't know. I don't know that it's intelligent. I mean, if you're thinking of it from a manipulative standpoint, yes, it's smarter to be nice. As far as just innately moving through life, I find that I'm a happier person. And when I'm being nice, and I try to, I think people are happier to be around me when I'm being nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's automatically connected to intelligent.
Then the follow-up question, do they come in peace? What do you think?
I don't know. I sure hope so.
Are you an advocate of Dr. Stephen Greer?
I am.
Do you like him?
I do.
You like him. Okay. Yes. I'm anti-Stephen Greer, but that's fine. We can all live.
It's like all Stephen Greer does is say positive things about aliens, Henry.
He takes people's money, but he does have the orbs. We just don't know what we're asking for when we ask these orbs to show up. We don't know what contract we're signing.
I just think that if they're going to show up, when they show up or whatever, either, I don't know, I would hope that they were of evolved to the point that they want to be nice to us, but maybe they'll just be like, these dumb animals need some sort of training and control, so we'll be nice, but we're also just going to lay down some ground rules for them. I kind of wonder if there's just a giant under construction sign hanging right outside the planet being like, pardon our dust, you know, they're not ready for visitors yet.
Are we living in a simulation?
If we are, I really need to upgrade.
We get something better in here then?
But honestly, we got parrots. You got hot dogs. What else do you need?
Parrots and hot dogs.
Yeah.
But you know, in my mind, I wonder if there's, because we have not yet found proof of a nuts and bolts like society anywhere yet in the what we can reach, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't found any shit. We have a couple of weird repeated radio signals that we think that might be something. We don't really know what it is. We think that it might come from a supernova. They're saying it might, all these kind of bullshit. We don't really know why we're getting these messages. They keep trying to move the goalpost of like what constitutes looking for life on other planets and all this kind of shit. In my mind, I wonder more and more, like, number one, is it just everything's on top of us and literally they're ultra-terrestrials that are just here and they've been here forever? Or are we already in a digital prison that we don't know that we're a part of? Then that's the reason why we can't find, and it's so isolated, we're so fucking out here in the middle of nowhere, is that essentially we are in the middle of some aliens game of Stellaris and they haven't gotten to us yet.
That would feed into sort of the arrogance of humans to think that we're special enough to warrant a simulation. And I don't know, and I'm coming across as maybe a little cynical, I don't know that we really do warrant that, but I think that if they're out there and we're not detecting it, then maybe they just don't want to be found. Maybe they just want to be left alone. I do think that when stuff is seen in the skies or people are documenting things, when it's not just a meteorological anomaly or birds or whatever it is, or a plane, if it's actually something legit that's being captured, I do most certainly think it is intentional. I do think that they're saying,
saying hello, right? Because there is a conversation that seems to be happening with these sightings. They always talk about when you see one of these things, it acts as if it's paying attention to you. It likes that you're paying attention to it. It does not like getting pictures taken of it, whatever the phenomena is. It does not like to be recorded for some reason. That's what Tenney always talks about. He said that there's an inherent specific need to stay mysterious, whatever the phenomena has. And that's why, to him, it's getting weirder and weirder and more strange. Like, you know, we get these little orbs, we get these little things zipping around where it's way more just being like, that's all you get.
But Henry, you mentioned parrots. And so obviously parrots parody human behavior. We're talking about this. Will they come in peace? Will they not? Is it possible that they are already here and they are parodying us and they're kind of blending in? Because hasn't that been a trope for a long time with the TV and movies? Is that another possibility where they came to Earth and they're like, actually, it ain't so bad. Let's fit in. And maybe they like fast food. I don't know.
Or maybe we are the product of whatever experiment they started on this planet a long time ago.
Have you gotten to this point? Have we gotten to this point where we start to talk about the fact that we're just some pets?
Are we aliens?
We could be. I mean, we could be the product of the aliens. We could be the
fuck toys.
Yeah, we could be the fuck toys.
So, like the Adam and Eve story, going back to kind of theology and stuff, though, is that a working theory that we are the descendants of alien life?
Yeah, and I do forget who came up with this one or where this emerged from, but that basically you have the Nordics that started their little pet project, literally, and it was us. We were the byproduct of that, and that you also had sort of the lizard people that started the reptilians.
They lived here. They were here first, and that the Nordics were here, and that we were a part of like essentially a worker creature. Yeah.
And that, yeah, and that we're a product of that. And like you get some, you when you go deep in the internet, you get some interesting stories related to it. But one of my favorite comes out of the Superstition Mountains, I believe, and the notion that this woman was, and it became kind of a popular story for a while. This woman had stumbled upon this reptilian lab and encountered a reptilian that was albino and had human genitalia tried to mate with her. And I mean, it's bonker sounding, but it kind of taps into that notion of like, maybe we are just the creations of these other species or that they are trying to hybrid.
Did she have sex with it?
She did. And it was not consensual, which makes it especially a sad story.
Not consensual in which part? Her part? Or did she jump its bones?
She did. Okay, so you're familiar with this story then.
Interesting. Very familiar.
Yeah, she was the instigator.
She's like, what's going on?
I got to get me some of that albino reptilian.
Yeah, I need some.
It's got to be better than whatever we are.
Well, we did a whole episode called Sexual Liaisons with the Alien not that long ago. The phenomena is, again, very interested in how we procreate. It is very, whatever is going on, they really are, they throw different things at it. They got the grays, they abduct you, they scrape the eggs, they make you come, right, specifically against your will, that kind of shit. They'd steal men's semen. But then they sometimes will do you a favor and they'll send somebody who kind of looks half human. Mm-hmm. And then you have sex with this either under hypnosis or some form, like, and then you then are maybe years later, you're shown your baby, like that thing where like you made this.
Scary.
I mean, don't we kind of do that with animals now? Don't humans sort of do that? I mean, we don't necessarily.
We do.
Yeah, we're breeding constantly.
This is why I boycott the Westminster Dog Show. I don't know what old ninnies are out there making dog, they're sexualizing the dog and they want them tinier. But you know that's not right because the bulldog is actually supposed to be quite large.
And that's
they're making it sexy. They do like it. They're like,
they make it sexy.
Sexy.
That's
it's
the
like,
word
no.
you'd use?
Yeah, because that's what they do. Have you ever watched the Westminster?
Not with sound on.
Oh, it's disgusting. The announcers.
It's just in the background. Yeah. And during Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It's gross. They'll be like, oh, yeah, that's a nice hole on that dash hound. Like, it's gross. I swear to God, I watched the Natural Dog Show. They don't sexualize them so much.
Is there a Natural Dog Show?
Yeah, they allow them to be normal. And they don't breed them, so they
that's
have
boring.
Access. Anyway, we're not here to talk
you
about
you did this.
Dogs. I know.
But so now UFOs are having their fucking moment.
Right.
Finally, I think kind of in a way, finally. It started with ghosts. I wonder what's next, because I kind of feel that ghosts are going to kind of come back around with a fascination, or because I feel like there's more and more in the zeitgeist people talking that ghosts, aliens, and all these type of things are kind of under an umbrella theory. But I wonder what's next that's going to get the Sauron eye.
I think that people are going to keep pushing that envelope of that weirdness, and we're going to get, I mean, you mentioned sort of these humanoid sightings and this idea of like Mothman or things flying in the air. I think that's part of it. I think part of it is also going to be pushing into the idea of elementals or fairies or like that other kind of stuff. Some of which, or a lot of which, is already old and ancient, but might come back into this 21st century realm. I think we're going to just keep looking for other types of entities and say, okay, well, that's now the new hot thing. That's going to be the thing we're going to focus on. That's the thing that I'm fascinated in. So we'll just keep getting weirder.
Right. And more of these people are coming into our sphere. These people, they're coming into our sphere. And I mean, attractive people.
Oh,
they are taking our.
Well,
thunder.
Aaron's quite attractive.
He is very attractive. And honestly, and I'm kind of accusing him of this, of gentrifying the sport of paranormal activity with a handsome face.
Well, I'm in the sphere now.
I don't want to diss you, Aaron, but it does look like you may buy tactical things. I think you might have a tactical flashlight. Do you have a tactical flashlight?
I have a lot of gadgets. See, I've never presented myself as a paranormal investigator. But, you know, you do this long enough, you go to a lot of locations, so you just acquire the things.
I have a ghost box for no reason. I have all this shit for no reason in my house.
And a lot of it, I half of it I don't know or don't necessarily think works, or maybe it does, but just taking something that blinks and makes noises to me doesn't make for paranormal evidence. I don't even know if there really is most of the time paranormal evidence coming out of these things, but which is great since I'm on a show called Paranormal Called on Camera. But the I think a lot of it, it's to me more interesting to go into an investigation and just kind of pay attention to what's going on around you and kind of feel the room, read the room a little bit. But if I am out there with people and I'm asked to lead some sort of investigation, I like using a Ouija board. I like using some of the old school stuff, you know?
Cool. Love the Ouija.
I think that that analog shit actually is way more, because it's using us humans as the barometer versus a machine that, I mean, anybody can make it to sound. You know, how many times you have this ghost box and it says, help me, or like, daddy, and you're like, oh there's a baby here. There's a baby here. It died. It must have died in a fire.
Oh, that's horrible sounding. Yeah, throw that ghost box.
But it's
out.
Bullshit. Anybody can. You can have a sad ghost box that day. I don't know what happens.
Or you can engineer one that just randomly spits out. Help
it's me, Jeremiah. I own the slave in this land.
Oh my, Jeremiah. I'm Jeremiah. Let him go.
It could say anything.
It could.
Oh my.
Even a complex sentence such as that. Why not? You could program it to say
Jeremiah
that.
That's what they're edging it. Thoughts.
Well, they keep saying, like, I feel like that's with the ghost box culture that it does. I love Ghost Adventures. I love, like, those guys are really, they're fun.
They should
and
be
they
nicer,
are,
though. They should be nicer to the ghosts. That's what I think.
They should stop yelling at the ghosts. Yeah. But they're true believers. But they're very, very into the idea of the ghost box. But I feel like it's just picking up random shit. I guess you can twist it into anything. Same thing with EVP. I love EVP. I think they're really fun, but I never once heard the word that they're talking about until they say that it's the word that they're talking about.
Well, I have, but I think to your point about like Ghost Adventures, I think they've kind of gotten nicer over time.
Yeah.
But what I think is actually kind of cool and probably important about those guys is that they have the money behind them that if they want to engineer devices and play with different devices, which they do all the time, granted, we don't know exactly how it works, but they actually have the money to develop those devices and those tools. So maybe that is where some sort of research will emerge from, or since we don't really know how it works, maybe, you know, who knows what's happening with those devices, but right. I never quite trust anything that I don't quite understand how it works. You're telling me I'm hearing a ghost come out of a box. Well, you're saying that. I'm not the one that designed this. So.
Whatever they do, when they play it back, it is sort of the vocal equivalent of circling something in a black shadowy picture and be like, see, Sasquatch. When they say it's like, well, as you can hear the word and then you see the word and then, of course, you can hear it. But just going back quickly to aliens before we let you get out of here, Aaron Sagers, check him out on everything. He is fantastic and, dare I say, quite a dreamboat. When it comes to people like Elon Musk.
That's great. Because you're just undressing him with your eyes. That's fine.
I know. He is, and I'm putting the clothes back on because I already finished. when it comes to Elon Musk, when it comes to space exploration, they are saying around 2040 or whatever, we're going to go to Mars and we're going to have a bunch of people up there. What do you think that does when it comes to our understanding of alien life forms when we actually have communications with people living on Mars? They're going to be Skyping in, I would assume. What do you think that's going to do to our brain? I mean, it's going to have to expand, right? Our understanding, or at the very least, our ability or our desire to understand how much larger everything is out there.
I mean, you kind of mentioned it earlier. I think that humans are quite elastic when we choose to be, if we're not fighting against it.
Right.
So things would become kind of commonplace rather quickly. You know, it's like virtual reality. You know, there was a time when it was like, oh, this is all very exciting. I guess it's still kind of exciting. Yeah, it's still.
You
kind
still
of
get really sweaty with the helmet on.
Oh,
you don't really go anywhere. Like it's awful. Honestly, yeah. I like it. It was kind of fun, but it's just like you just build up a pool of human soup, like right underneath your eyeballs.
It's too much work. I'm too lazy for VR.
You can do it sitting down.
Yeah, but
yeah, do
I
this.
Don't know.
Yeah,
move your legs. Works. You'll move your knees up and down. Honestly, it might help you.
Which shows that you've already adapted to it. So I think that humans can adapt rather quickly, but it would still be a game changer if there was some sort of extraterrestrial communication.
It's going to be fascinating, right? Like, literally, we're going to have, like, zooming in from Mars. We've got, you know, whoever it might be. How long do you think that seeding process is going to take? Because Elon Musk was talking about this recently. He said he's going to start... I think they wanted to bring like 70 people up or something like that within the next 10 years.
This is just all of this is a fucking long con. All these motherfuckers, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, they are abandoning us is what they're doing.
But they have to seed the planet. Don't they have to seed it with people? Otherwise, who's going to be their butlers?
I don't think they'll be the first ones up. I think they're going to send a bunch of schmoes who are going to die. I mean, those first trips. People are going to die. A lot of people are going to die, and people will willingly sign up to die because if you win, if you get there, then you win. You're the first or the second or the third.
Yeah.
Like, so people have to understand it's a one-way trip to start, and then they've got to be establishing stuff once they're up there and building and everything. Elon Musk, I don't think is going to be up there anytime soon. I don't think Jeff Bezos is going up there anytime soon. They want that infrastructure, whatever it is. They need those people to die and then to build and then they'll go up there.
They need a soft landing. When they arrive, they needs to be a Four Seasons.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Honestly, what do women want?
Oh my God, Henry, what is wrong with you?
Paying attention to my story about the albino lizard man.
Henry.
You're right. Huge luck.
Good Lord. Also, you don't even need to ask that question anymore. Ask your wife what she wants. It's the only woman you need to worry about.
She tells me she's fine.
Oh, that's not good.
I know.
That's very bad. She's fine?
She says she's fine.
Oh, no, buddy.
She says she's fine, and then I saw this thing that just said Henry's will.
Whoa!
I didn't even have a will. I didn't even sign that shit.
She made
just
it
on
for
her desk.
You. That's so nice that she made that for you and how like you're going to give her everything.
She already got everything. I just signed all that paperwork. Are you married, Aaron?
Not anymore.
Congrats.
Was it the paranormal that split you two apart? Because that happens all the time.
Let's say that. Let's go with the paranormal.
Hell yeah, Doc.
We won't talk about the reptile that moved to town that happened to have a huge hunk of junk on him.
My ex technically left me in the middle of me trying to describe to her hollow moon theory. Like, this is completely legit. We had to talk about it on the show when it happened, but it was like, I was ranting about the secret side of the moon and like your thing. And I remember her hands hitting the table and she was like, this has to stop. Like, it was awful.
That is a true story.
Yep.
That is a true story, and it was the best thing that ever happened to the old bloke.
It was fantastic.
So
it was great because she couldn't handle the heat. And
she
couldn't
handle
woman,
the lies, Henry.
I
it
need
was the
a
lies.
Woman that can handle the heat.
You need a woman who doesn't listen to you because she's so tall that she can't even hear you down there. And she says, okay. And then she's like...
But honestly, Aaron, you got to find a woman that loves you for you, man.
That's
fuck this
now
shit,
we're
dude.
Just giving advice to a man who is much more handsome than both of us, who I'm sure is fine.
And loves the hollow earth theory.
It's not hollow.
It's got a lot of, honestly, there's a lot of intricate cavern theory, like within the planet earth. It's actually not too wrong to say that there are hollow aspects to at least a quarter of the planet.
Henry, this really has to stop.
Yeah, this does have to stop because I'm breaking up with both of you. And it's just done. We're over now. Now the whole thing is over. No, honestly, thank you so much, Aaron. You have to come back on when new news breaks. We would love to speak with you more. And you really are. I mean, I love that
also,
you bring
you
a little bit of levity
book?
To it. Yeah. Are you plugging anything? But I love your approach just in general to the paranormal because you're not overbearing and you do a great job of articulating your thoughts. And so thank you for that, because we can always use some different PR people for the paranormal. I think
we do need them. We need them.
Truly.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. It was a hell of a lot of good time. See, that's what you say when you compliment me being able to enunciate and speak clearly. It goes off the rails.
What do we got here? What's this book all about?
Not a book, actually. Okay. I have, much like everybody else, started a podcast in the midst of the pandemic.
Welcome to the pool, buddy.
Nothing
but good returns, buddy.
You want to stay in the warm spots.
Yeah. I would say, because there's not enough true crime and paranormal podcasts out there, I decided I was going to start a true crime and paranormal podcast called Nightmarica.
Oh, I love it.
and I bring in different guest hosts and they tell a story, but it's all, you know, just using the research and journalistic foundation that I already try to do. It's people tell weird ass stories, but they are all documented. There is enough, there's enough facts to go with it. So even if you don't get on board with the paranormal side of it, there is enough history behind it. So that's kind of the recent thing that I'm doing. So
that's really cool. It sounds so it's a little coast to coast like with the interviews and real life experiences and Nightmarica, fantastic name.
Thank you.
Yeah, we here at Last Podcast, we like to do is we like to fill it with as much elite level research as we can, and then you have to deal with me inside of it.
Yeah.
I love it.
You're punished by it.
I love it. Well, check out Nightmarica. Sounds this is awesome. Like a fantastic show. Aaron,
but seriously,
Seggers,
dude, and if
you.
There's truly, like, same thing said to Tenney, if anyone's going to have it, I'm glad you have it because you know what you're talking about.
Thank you. Yeah, well, hey, look, I'll come back anytime. You guys let me know.
Fuck yeah, dog.